Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have stopped believing in God, but we continue to believe in our own immortality. The sentence sounds positively modern, but it's over 100 years old, from the French novelist Émile Zola, and I suppose we could argue it's older still, as old as the human race. Indeed, absent God, who is often hard to find today in thought and in life, what else do we believe in but ourselves? Yet death continues to take us all, and so what do we do for immortality? Our only hope would be to make some kind of a monument, a glowing, growing legacy that we create to assure that we are not forgotten. But where is the joy in that? That was a big word last evening. Where is the joy? Any joy? It is true that we've been good at monument building, at least at the attempt, if not the result, striving for utopias in one form or another, sometimes a shining city on a hill, trumpeting our achievement. We were doing that even before people stopped believing in God. Back in olden days, cast out of Eden, people sought grandeur in their own accomplishments, in their cities, in their civilizations. Genesis 11 tells the story of Babel. Let us build this. Let us make a name for ourselves so that people will remember us. And over time, people have improved, quote unquote, on that, with utopia master plans, be they pagan, like Plato's Republic, or whether they come out of a more Christian context. Thomas More's Utopia, Johann Andrea's Christianopolis, Tommaso Campanella's City of the Sun, Francis Bacon's New Atlantis. On and on they come. Those are just a few. In post-Enlightenment times, that is to say, in the modern world, we've tried our hand at building both outside and inside church circles. For some, kingdom of God, is no longer the Second Petition Catechism definition. It is rather a matter of practical action, only practical action, no more than service. If so, the logic goes, then kingdom building is better handled by others in society or government, with the church then along to cheer and to lend a hand. Immortality still rests in kingdom building. We just redefined the kingdom. It's merely for the here and now. In some respects, the practical remake of our physical world typifies that. A remaking like Babel, now with gleaming towers of glass and steel that scrape the sky. Better, they blaze with lights all night long without regard for the rhythm God created or his daily gift of nighttime rest. But beyond the physical, our attitudes, they run confident, yet contrary, as we seek to turn to society and fine-tune it. So we get the Great Society, the war on poverty, the war on drugs, promises to end crime, and most recently, promises to take care of us and our health without fear. Immortality, at least life with comfort guaranteed, life without risk. Even at times in our own church, in our own circles, we're arriving at the perfect plan that will guarantee success. And perhaps we're not then building skyscrapers, just booths on mountaintops to try to freeze time in an era that we think is the perfect one. There are no golden ages. The truth is, it doesn't take much to realize that we're not immune at losing track of who we are and where home is as we set out to do God one better. The poet Edward Arlington Robinson once observed that the world is, as he said, a kind of spiritual kindergarten where millions of bewildered infants are trying to spell God with the wrong blocks. But enough of us. There's not much joy there. What does God build? After all, as the Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house. It's worth thinking about such things in the day after call day with hopes and dreams that have grown ever since your name was called last night and we saw people walk across the front of the chapel here. Today's Revelation reading presents a city of another sort. God builds carefully. He wastes no materials, no false starts, no need, as the saying goes, to measure twice and then cut once. And what he fashions lasts. Apostles, 12 foundations, not used for a time then cleared away for something new and some sort of urban update, but rather held over and built upon with Israel's ancient tribes then on top, names on the gates. It's interesting. I would have put the Old Testament on the bottom as the foundation and then built on top with the new. But then I'm not building the city. It is God's city. The order reminds us of that. It also could be a way of emphasizing the continuity that's there. For the fact is that nothing changes, and whether we are an OT or new, God always operates the same way in terms of his law and his promises. The difference being from which side of the cross one looks at that focal point. And to stretch the image, to reach over to 1 Peter, those key features include stones, living stones like us. Architect Louis Sullivan, known for his buildings in Chicago, actually built one here in downtown St. Louis that was termed one of the 10 most important buildings in the history of the United States. Before Sullivan, builders could only pile up bricks, and then you reached a limit. But Sullivan first used a structure of steel, the heart of things, and then came the bricks and the stones, taking their cues, so to speak, from the framework that shaped them. In so doing, Sullivan built better and higher. And as he did, Sullivan left exposed some of the steel. To remind, to teach a lesson, and to show what mattered. The same thing happens here with the prophetic and the apostolic form to which stones then are added. Look at us. But look at us. What kind of city can this be? Assuming we take an honest look at ourselves and ignore the pride and the arrogance that think we can kingdom build, would we want any of us raising up a city like this? Could we build anything immortal and eternal? If not by us, then would we even want to build with us? And yet God does. It is a dazzling city in the description you heard this morning. From hopelessly flawed stones throughout history, from malformed bricks and miscut blocks, God makes a city that John, moved by the Spirit, is still almost failing for words to describe. And God decks it out in every sort of precious jewel, sparing no expense to cover the cost, the infinite price he pays for the infinite cost that costs him his son. The city costs so much not only because the materials have to be reworked, but also because it has to be large enough, big enough, with room for who knows, God knows. How many more are there to add? The New Jerusalem costs so much not only because it is unlike any other city ever built, but there will never be another one to supersede it. The whole way of life, the environment itself, are totally redone and reworked. The city has no enemies. The walls and the gates are there to show the power of the builder and his might, his art, his good judgment, but the doors never need be shut. Because those who tried to scuttle the city are banished elsewhere, along with the darkness as the light shines forever. God has made life here perfectly safe. There are no abominations. Those things that were impure shall not enter. But we're there. What does that say about what God has done? Yes, we're there. Good stock now. We look that way to him for his son's sake, and by eyes of faith, we look at each other and recognize it as well. If you have second thoughts, check your baptismal record and note your name there in the Book of Life in black and white. This is God's list of building materials. Here in the city, life's rhythms are entirely different. No night to shut things down. Life hums without limits in a metropolis constantly ablaze, lit not by GE that brings good things to life, but by a lamb whose light makes all things good. A lamb to bring light and life? Once again, it's the way God has decided to do it. And along with the rhythm, the focus is different. There is no temple, St. John writes. No temple in the middle of the New Jerusalem, because there is no, it means there is no place to sacrifice. There is no need to sacrifice. The lamb, once dead, now lives in triumph in the center of a living temple. The city itself is alive. No more priests to intercede, no more pastors to proclaim and freely give the gifts that now promise and point to this fulfillment to come. Sorry to those of you who got calls last night. You haven't even started. And to others heading that way, you're going to be out of a job. Happy day. Heilsgeschichte, salvation history has ended. Time will have run its course, now become life without end. Today we think on God's saints, his building stones of Old Testament and New. We know many names through history, and with them will come many more, outsiders made citizens, welcomed with the privilege. We have a great view of this place. Three rules about real estate, we're told. Location, location, and location. This is a pretty good place to be, and the joy abounds. When Charlemagne became the Holy Roman Emperor on Christmas Day in 800, he was busy already building a new capital at Aachen in Germany, in a kind of northwest corner tucked into what they call the Benelux region, Belgium, Netherlands, Luxembourg. His stone city included a new cathedral, octagonal in shape, with a marble throne in the balcony high above, with a view on the diagonal to the altar below, in this sort of round building that he had done. When Friedrich Barbarossa became the emperor, several centuries later, he had a huge gold and jeweled chandelier crafted and hung low in the church. It was an artist's rendering of the picture of Revelation 21, the heavenly Jerusalem. He has the turrets, the gates, the jewels, the walls. The only thing he couldn't do was make it 12-sided, because Charlemagne had boxed him in with the architecture. When we saw it, our tour guide said, "How foolish to have blocked the view, for now the emperor has to look down through the light fixture to see the altar." And I thought, it really isn't so bad. For here in a church is a reminder of the church, the New Jerusalem with saints who rejoiced at salvation offered and grasped, making emperors, making us all a part of them, one in Christ, singing praise to the Lamb. Urban living is pretty great. Breathe deeply. Rejoice in the life in the city. Thine the glory in the night, no more dying, only light. Thine the river, thine the tree, and then the Lamb eternally. Then the holy, holy, holy celebration jubilee. Thine the splendor, thine the brightness. Only thee, only thee. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.